God spoke to me in December and told me the word for the year of 2024 is foundation. How many know the foundation's important in everything? So I'm doing foundational teaching this year, and it won't be any different today. And so I want to talk about nurturing a strong foundation of spiritual authority in your life. And before I get there, years ago, my first tenure in ministry was, I was working at a large church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I ministered to people all day on behalf of the pastor and in personal ministry. And I came across this information that really helped me as I, you know, just kind of quantified what a person may be dealing with, and it's helped me in my own life. If you've got problems in living, there are three reasons for problems that you may have. So that's how you find the solution. Find out where the problem's coming from. Number one, you may have a physical issue, and if you've got a physical issue and need healing, you got to understand it may have to do with diet, it may have to do with rest, or it may have to do with just illness that attacks your body, and Jesus is a healer, right? So physical issue, three problems in living, physical issues, sin issues, personal responsibility issues. If there's something going on and you're not feeling right emotionally, mentally, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it could be an evasion of personal responsibility, or it's some area that we're missing the mark in or sinning in. Thirdly, third reason for problems in living is demonic influence. Demonic entities are real. The Apostle Paul talks about principalities, powers, et cetera, in Ephesians 6. And those are very real entities that we have to deal with. The professional mental world don't recognize them, but how many know they're very, very real? So the good news is, as we get into this today, you have authority over the devil and his regime. Now, I want to submit that into you today. There is an increasing and intense spiritual resistance. Have you noticed recently? And all of us have to deal with that every single day. And Jesus said just before he comes back, there would be an increase of intensity. And in fact, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 12, which is kind of a recap of what's happening on planet Earth, he said this in Revelation 10, 12, New Living Translation, I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it's come at last, salvation, power, the kingdom of our God, the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren and our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. Now, that could have been the eons of time in the past when he was kicked out of heaven. I mentioned it last week. Or it could be something close by that, you know, at the very last, he hits the ground again. And it says, the one who accuses them before our God day and night, and they have defeated him. We have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say the blood of the Lamb. And by their testimony. You got to say something about it. And they did not love their lives so much they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. And here's the reason I read that. Terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil, deceiver is what it really means, has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. So you're sensing the anger of the demonic realm coming against people all over the world. One of the big things that's happening behind the scenes right now is the Antichrist spirit's rising up. Let me just say the Antichrist spirit tells a number of things. Deception, number one. Delusional thinking, number two. Delusional thinking is when you know what is right, but you do what everybody else tells you to do. In the light of knowledge, that's happening right now. There's a lot to say about that. It's not my subject today. The Antichrist spirit is also against nation states. The Antichrist spirit wants all of the human race to amalgamate together. You wonder why immigrants are going into all the nations of the world. They're trying to mess up the history of every nation, and so that no nation has a history that means anything to them. All nations think the same way, do the same thing, and then they follow the same, you know, the same dynamic of government, and that's the Antichrist government, the global governance, as you read about today. How many know that's a lie? The other thing that's really paramount with the Antichrist spirit is sexual immorality and looseness. How many hear me? It's rampant today. So anything goes, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, and it's all demonic, my friends, and it's all happened in the past. And it's all coming full circle. Satan's got it, knows he's got one last chance to defeat Jesus, but how many know he's deluded and deceived? Because it'll never happen. Thank God we have already won. Wow. 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly, in the last times some will turn away from the true faith. This stuff's so strong that some people will leave God. Now my prayer for you is you don't ever leave God. You don't ever let your flesh have its way. You don't ever let some ideology grab your mind and say that the kingdom of God and Jesus don't matter, because they do matter. They're your future. Amen. Right? He said they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. So if I'm just going to say, if you're online or you're in here and you're visiting today, but you attend a church and they don't talk about living a holy life, they say all roads lead to God, all roads lead to heaven, you can do anything you want to do, and the grace of God will cover it. If I were you, I would run out that door as fast as I could and leave a trail. Hello. And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, somebody said. Anyway, I better shut up. I feel the edge coming on. Anyway, there's some other scripture there. So I got about 5 points here. The second one is, here's something we just got to know about today. And I'm surprised at how many people don't really walk in the reality of this. What I'm about to say, if you don't understand this, then you could easily blame God when problems come. God is not my problem, he's the solution. Jesus is not my problem, he's the solution. He's the answer for everything. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me, right? So, but if you don't know this, you could get really upset with the Lord when things don't go your way, when financial calamity comes, or when something strikes, and you know, whatever it is. It could be an accident that hinders life and does different things, or it could be just anything. Don't blame God. He's not at fault. We have a thief loose. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the second point is Adam gave our spiritual authority on earth away to our enemy. The first man, the Bible says, is Adam. How many believe the Genesis account of creation? Raise your hand. How many believe that we evolved from lower creatures? Raise your hand. Well, I would respect the fact that you can think, but I would disagree with you if you believe that. Because there's nothing, even in nature. I mean, I was just listening to this real heady guy talk yesterday, and he was talking about the second law of thermodynamics in physics. Everything's winding down. It's like everything's wound tight at creation, and it's winding down. No. We created by the hand of God. And we're made in the image of God. So Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, you know the story, Genesis account of creation. They sinned against God, Genesis chapter 3. That is, they did what God told them explicitly not to do. And when Adam and Eve sinned against God, the woman was deceived by Satan, who took the form of a serpent. There's a lot to say about that. Don't have time to say it. And then she gave the fruit to her husband, and he would rather have fellowship with her than with God. He did what he did in the light of knowledge and knew that if he didn't partake the way she did, they would be separated, and then bad things would happen to her, but he could have survived, but he chose her over God. Now, that's a big deal right there. Women, you got a lot of sway with your husbands. Yes or no? And you need to be stinking careful. Because they can love you a lot, and you can cause them to mess up a lot. Yes or no? But, you know, the woman's not the only stinker in the pot. He is, too. Because he chose her over God. When that happened, two things happened. They broke their fellowship with God. It's called spiritual death. Inside of us, we're separated from God. And that's and that's called spiritual death. And that spiritual death is the reason we're having hell on wheels all around us, and people saying and doing outlandish things, lying, killing, cheating, stealing, rampant immorality. It comes from the heart of man. Jesus said it in Matthew 15:18, from the heart of man proceeds all these terrible things that happen, right? So Adam and Eve sinned and produced what we're dealing with today. And how many know the antidote is the new birth? We'll talk about that maybe in a minute, and I'll take some time and talk about that in later sessions. But second thing that happened when Adam and Eve sinned is God actually gave them a part of his all dominion, his all authority. A lot, that's not widely talked about, nor even widely preached for some reason. Some segments of Christianity, yes, but by and large, with the 2 billion believers worldwide, a lot just are not aware of these truths. If you understand this truth, it puts the pieces of the puzzle in life together. I came to know this when I was 18 years old and have been studying it ever since and found out to be true. It made a lot of sense to me. God originally gave the human race a measure of his all authority. So it's not that we just do what we want to do. We're under God's all authority, right? So God's the overarching authority over the universe. He gave humankind, when he made us in his image, he gave us a measure of his authority, and we're the guardians of the earth, as it were. And he gave us authority to oversee and to keep. In fact, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion." That is, let humankind have dominion over the fish, the birds, the cattle, over the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so he gave us authority. And when Adam and Eve sinned, they literally gave the authority that God had given them away. Hebrews 2:5, New Living Translation, it's in the notes. "Furthermore, is it not angels who will control the future world we're talking about," verse 6, and this comes from the 8th Psalm. "For in one place the scriptures say, 'What are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." So again, the psalmist is looking back at the original creation, understanding Genesis 1:26, that God gave original authority to humankind to oversee and keep the earth under God's tutelage, right? And then the very last thing he says here, now when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But it ends, "We have not yet seen all things put under their authority." So it, again, it gives reference to the fact that God gave the humankind original authority, but it was taken away. And that idea is further shown in Luke 5 with when Jesus was baptized by his first cousin, and then he went on a 40-day fast. He was didn't eat. He was hungry. Then Luke 4, and during the temptations when Satan came to him during his fast, then the devil took him, Luke 4:5, as in the notes, up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time. This is the Amplified Bible. In the twinkling of an eye, he could have done that just by looking at a symbol of Roman authority, which at the time Rome ruled that part of the world in a large way. All roads lead to Rome was one of the sayings of the time. And he said to him, "To you I will give all this power." Satan said to Jesus, "To you I will give all this power and authority and their glory," all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. "For it," what is it? "All of the power of the kingdoms of the world has been turned over to me." Wait a minute. You mean Satan got all of the power of the kingdoms of the world? And then, now I don't believe he told the truth on the second part. He told the truth on the first one. He said, "For it has been turned over to me." And then he said, "And I will give it to whomever I will." Now, that's a lie. Now, this was a bona fide temptation. Jesus could have bowed down and worshiped the devil, and he could have given. He said, "Well, I'll just give you back this authority." Now, he wasn't about to do that. But it was a real temptation. Somebody said, "Well, he really doesn't have the authority of the kingdoms of the world." Well, yes, he does. In fact, you can go through the scriptures and see that there is a hierarchy of demon power here. How did they get here? They got here after original sin, after Adam and Eve sinned against God. They became treasonous. They committed high treason against God, and that what God promised them, God bequeathed to them. They gave away to God's archenemy, Satan, and he became the God of this age, and he has a legal right to be here. I don't think he has a moral right to be here. You got to understand, Satan's got a legal right to be here because of what Adam and Eve did. You understand that? See, if you understand that, then you also understand that God had to go through a legal process to redeem us, to cleanse us from sin. If you weren't here last week, go look online. We got all the stuff online from that. I'll talk about exactly what Jesus did to set us free from sin. And the same thing that Jesus did to set us free from sin, the cool thing is, he got our authority back. The authority that Adam and Eve gave away, he got it back from Satan himself. And that's awesome. Now, I want to mention this, and this came back up to me. It wasn't in my notes, and I added it again. I used a term last week, and I think there was a podcast a couple of times ago that I mentioned it, and I mentioned this word or term at our men's gathering called Encounter when we were in Fayetteville together. And I used the term that Jesus is a prototype. Everybody say prototype. Jesus is the prototype man. The prototype, what does that mean? A prototype, when an engineer makes from blueprints, makes a new object or whatever. How many know that the first thing made of that blueprint's a prototype? And then you pattern everything else after that. For me, my little simple mind, I'm a little boy. I'm on top of a garage that my father was building, and I was his helper. I'm basically just handing him boards. But my dad, you know, very skilled, he and my grandfather built our house that we lived in. Now my father, by himself, with the help of me and my brother, is building a garage, two-car garage, and a lean-to on it to put his John Deere tractor, big old tractor, and all of his tools and such, rooms in the back and all that. So we're erecting the roof. And so I'm watching my dad hemming that board, and he's measuring the roof, and you know, so the boards that make the undergirders for the roof, he's cutting those 2x4s. So he cuts the first one. And you know what he did? He didn't measure any other board. He just used that board to measure every other board right there. I watched him. That board became the prototype. You get it? That board did. So you got a new car. You know, invented a new car, whatever it may be. This is classy, nice. Well, that's the prototype. The prototype's the first of something. Jesus became the prototype of a brand new race of people on earth. I want you to see this clearly, because this will help you in life immensely. How many know the scripture says in 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world? Yes or no? What do you mean by Jesus being the prototype? Colossians 1:15. He is the image of the invisible God. Now watch this. I mentioned it last week. The firstborn. Everybody say firstborn. Over all creation. Watch. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and through in him all things consist. And Amplified says, and are held together. And that lanolin, whatever it is, there's a substance that holds the cells of the body together, and it's in the shape of a cross. I think it's kind of cool. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. So it says here, Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Then it calls him the firstborn from the dead. Now I want to submit to you, and I mentioned it last week, but I was preaching, not teaching, that Jesus in hell, when he had become your sin, when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus died spiritually on the cross. Sin is not a physical thing. Sin is a spiritual thing. Yes or no? If sin were a physical thing, you could die yourself and pay for your own sins. No, sin's a spiritual thing. And there's a spiritual price that has to be paid for sin to be forgiven. Listen, God doesn't just forgive us because he loves us. His forgiveness has to be based on legality, because he's got an arch enemy, Satan. I mean, Satan absolutely means to dethrone God if he can. He absolutely means to steal God's creation if he can. So God's got to cross his T's and dot his I's and do it all right legally, because Satan's a legalist, and he will accuse God of not being just if he doesn't do it just right. So God can't forgive you just because he loves you. He forgives you based on justice. And that justice sent the Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. Right? Then when Jesus, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," Jesus was separated from God, separated from his Father. God turned his back on his own Son. The peace, the joy, the love was absent. The light was absent. It was all dark. And Jesus Christ became our sin spiritually. How can that be? I don't know. I don't know how he did that. Is Jesus God? Yes. But see, there's the Trinity. God the Father's in heaven. Jesus the Son was there on earth hanging on the cross. And then the Holy Spirit, he's the ever presence of God universe-wide. They're three entities, but they're one. One in thought, one in deed, one in purpose, one in action, one in motive. They're one. He's the triune God, right? So a part of the Trinity of God became your sin. Wow. Which means he broke fellowship with his Father. It's heady stuff, right? Makes you think. And Jesus went to hell and stayed there and preached the gospel to the Old Testament saints, Abraham and Moses and Noah and Daniel and all the rest. And he said, "I'm the one. I'm the Lamb of sacrifice. John, my first cousin, was right. I'm the Lamb of God. I am bearing the sins of the world right now. I have become your sin. I have become your peace. I am everything that you need. I am your all in all. I am the Lamb. And I'm here for you." And they were probably looking at him, "What you going to do?" And he might have said, "I am he that lives, and I was dead." And when he said it, the Holy Ghost came on him. And in hell, Jesus was the first human being who was also God, the God-man that was born again. The Holy Spirit came on Jesus in hell, and he came alive unto his Father again. The new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit from spiritual death to spiritual life. And once you're born again, you are immediately taken out from under the jurisdiction of the devil. He has no authority over you unless you give it to him. The legalities of his authority have been dismissed from your life. So Jesus is the prototype human. And Jesus is the percentage you should pattern your life after. Don't pattern your life after the greatest sports star, the greatest football player, the basketball player, right? Tennis player, whatever, the greatest musician, the greatest dancer. No, my Lord, pattern your life after Jesus. He's the prototype man. And he'll show you how to live. And he'll show you how to do it right. And he'll show you how to live free. He'll show you how to live honest. He'll show you how to live pure. He'll show you how to live a godly life. He's the prototype man. I don't know about you. I'm patterning my life after Jesus, the Son. He said, "If I'm lifted up, I'll draw people to me," right? Whoa. Don't you like that? So what are you patterning your life after? "Well, I want to look like this movie star. I want to look like this person." No, go quit. Just stop. That means nothing. You want to look like Jesus. In fact, he's dressed you in a robe of righteousness and put on you the whole armor of God. I like his clothes a lot better than mine, don't you? Mine are filthy rags. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke to his disciples just before he ascended. "All authority," everybody say, "all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore," everybody say, "go therefore." So when Jesus said all authority, he was standing there. You've heard me say this many times. He's standing there as the representative new creation man, a person who has never existed on planet Earth before. This is a person who was sinful, who was redeemed. Jesus bore the sin penalty and was the first person the Holy Spirit came on and caused them to come alive again unto God. He's the prototype. Do you get it? So he, as the representative man, his disciples didn't have a clue at the moment what he was doing. He said, all authority is given in me. What did he say? What was he saying? I mentioned it last week. The authority that God gave Adam and Eve when he created them to oversee this earth. The authority that they gave away to God's arch enemy, Satan, when they obeyed him and disobeyed God. That authority was taken away. Hebrews 2:9. Now we do not yet see all that all those things under him. And then Jesus, Luke chapter 4, Satan said, all this authority is given unto me. So that authority that was taken away, converted to God's arch enemy, Jesus gained back when he was born again in hell. Woo! He's the prototype man. So if you're in league with Jesus, you're in league with a person whom Satan has absolutely zero jurisdiction over, and he knows it. But his job is to keep you from knowing it. And if it can keep you from knowing it, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Most believers don't walk in the authority that God has given them in Christ. And I want you to. And now's the day to walk in the authority that Jesus died and rose from the dead to give you. Yes or no? Here's what you got to do. I can't always exercise authority for you. I hear this how many times a week? Pastor, pray for me. We'll pray for you. Pray for you. If you've been in God any length now, if you don't know the Lord, I pray for you. You're a baby believer. I pray for you. You've been in the Lord for 30 years. You pray for you. I got a lot of other stuff to pray for. Why you got me come and pray for you? What if you asked me that one time? I say, I ain't praying for you. You pray yourself. You say, I pass old mean pastor. No, I want you to pick up the mantle Jesus gave you. The mantle of authority and responsibility. And we're living in a whole generation today. You want everybody else to do what you want to be doing. Stand up, put your britches on, put your belt on, put your shoes on, put your armor on, and do what you're supposed to do. And quit begging off of somebody else all the time. Huh? The younger generation, listen, you need to get your tail up. Get to work. And quit thinking that life owes you something. Only things gonna come is bills and hard times. But if he'll stand up, put your britches on, put the armor of God on, put Jesus on, he'll make a way for you. He'll answer your prayer, and you'll be a blessing to others. But don't be leeching on to somebody else all the time. Now, if you're young in the Lord, you know, come and leech on to me. I love you. I'll pray for you. I'll swaddle you. I'll embrace you. But at some point, just like my children, I said, you tie your own shoes, Bubba. You wipe your own tail when you go to the bathroom. I ain't wiping it anymore. Right? You put that spoon in your own mouth. First time my son went to eat his own food, he stuck the thing up on his forehead. I say, here's another spoonful. Let's go. And he hit the nose the next time. Let's do it again. He got that oatmeal right in his mouth. But his face is filled. Well, you know, you learn, right? So if I did it with my children, you need to learn too. We got a lot of spiritual babies in the family of God today in churches. The reason the church is not effective in America today is we'd rather be babied than grow up. And it's time to stink and grow up, my friends. And if you're going to listen, if you choose to be a baby today, you may lose and lose badly. You may lose financially. You may lose physically. You may lose in all kinds of ways in life. But if you choose to be a baby in the kingdom of God, you're not going to be prepared for the battle that's coming. Do you hear me? I'm fighting enough for other people. Now you need to do your own fighting. Said enough that way. Jesus said, Mark 16:17, those that believe will be able to do these things as proof. They will use my name to force out demons. Ha! In my name, they'll cast out devils. Don't you like that? That's New Century Version. I just like that version. They'll use my name to force out demons. The 70 came to Jesus, said, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And Jesus said, don't be so excited about that. Just be glad your name's in the book in heaven. and you're going to, through the pearlies one day, right? Yeah, but you have authority over the devil. James 4:7, humble yourself before God, new living. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. God's word translation, place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil. He'll run away from you. New century version, give yourselves completely to God. So this only works if you submit to Jesus. If you want to hang on to sin and think you're going to have authority over the devil, he's going to laugh at you, right? So give yourselves completely to God. New century version says, stand up, stand against the devil, and the devil will run from you. I like that. Colossians 1:13, he, Jesus, has delivered us from the authority or power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. New century version, God has freed us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. New King James, Colossians 2:15, having disarmed, everybody say disarmed. What happens when somebody disarmed? If they have a knife, somebody took it from them. They got a gun, somebody took it from them. So you're in the armed forces. I got several of you looking at that. You've been in the Marines, you've been in the Army. Well, if you come against your enemy and you don't have a gun, somebody took it from him. So here's your enemy comes up to you to hurt you. Somebody took his armament. Satan has no ability to harm you as a believer unless you open a door. Huh? New Living Translation, Colossians 2:15. This way he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. I like that. New Century Version. God stripped the spiritual rulers and powers of their authority. Right? With the cross, he won the victory and showed the world that they're powerless. I really, really like, don't you like that? Now, you know, when I was a young believer in the 70s and 80s, and I just meditated on these scriptures a lot because I'd watched all the booger movies. And you got the little girl that the priest was trying to cast the devil out of her, and her head's doing a 360 on her shoulders, and it's going, ooh, and he's getting thrown against the wall, and all hell's breaking loose. You know, Hollywood doesn't want you to know that you have authority over the devil. So if you got Hollywood in your head, or you got novels in your head, or you got these spooky things you've read in your head, you need to sanitize your head. You need to renew your mind with God's word. I had to renew my mind with the word of God, right? Listen, I'm just like most people. I went to the library in my public school and I found out how to do incantations and spells and this and that. And I read about the power of the devil and I read spooky books and stories like everybody else did. And I watched the movies. When I came to Jesus, I had to sanitize my head of all of that. And when I found out Jesus took Satan's authority, why do I want to follow a person who's been disarmed? Why do I want to follow a person that's going to be in the lake of fire? Why? I don't want to go to the lake of fire, do you? That's the eventual end of the wicked dead, including Satan and all his cohorts. And then Ephesians 2:6 says this, and has raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Whoa, what does it mean to be seated? Your work's done. There's nothing else to do. So I'm not fighting any spiritual battles. Jesus fought the spiritual battles for me. The only fight I fight is the good fight of faith. That's why Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. The only fight I fight is to ignore or look beyond the senses and all of the things that are around me and the things I hear in my head and go back to the word of God and keep saying, it's written, it is written, it is written, it is written, because Jesus has already won the battle and I'm seated with him. And see, demon spirits know that you're seated. But they won't want you to forget. And so they're going to stir up angst. How? Circumstances and feelings. To make you feel that you're not saved. To make it appear that none of this stuff is real. It's all just a joke. And you ought to do like everybody else and just have a lot of fun because you only got one life to live. And that's a lie from the pit. Yes or no? So we have established that. God gave Adam and Eve authority. They gave it away. But who's our prototype? And what is a prototype? The first of something, right? And what did Jesus get back for us? our authority. He cleansed our sin, and he gave us the authority the first man and woman gave away, right? Yeah. And so who has authority now? Is that you? Ah, so you're not going to have to go to somebody else to do your praying. You can do your praying on your own. Now, let me qualify that again. I mean, if you're a brand new believer and you don't understand, come to me. I'll be the first one to pray for you. Is that okay? But I just warn you, if you've been in God for 15 years, I may say, why ain't you praying for you? Where's your faith? I was listening to Kenneth Hagin on a YouTube video. I was walk-haking. I walk. What? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, I take walks and all. And he was talking about Kenneth Hagin Jr., his son, Kenneth W. Hagin, who will be here this week. And he made a comment, and it really intrigued me. He said he was 15 years old, and, you know, he worked, he did all kind of athletics and stuff. Came home one day and said, well, I got this real bad ear infection, and he had to keep going to the doctor to get his ear cleaned out. And he said, they said it's the South Sea fungus that some people in the military brought back from another nation and said it's incurable. I'll have it the rest of my life. Eventually, it's going to diminish my hearing in that ear. And Kenneth W. Hagin, his son, said, well, Daddy, I want you to pray for me. And Brother Hagin said, I'm not going to pray for you. And he said, I'm not going to pray for you a lick. I guess in Texas, that means not one bit, right? Said, you got to do your own praying. He said, now I've carried you on my faith. And just a few years prior, he had some condition and God healed him. He was 12, but now he's 15. And he said, he had prayed for him previously and he didn't get his healing. And then he came up to him the next time. He said, well, I'm not praying for you a lick, not one bit. You're going to do your own praying. And so he went off and, got in the word. In fact, he could preach. Brother Hagin said his son could preach his sermons as good as he could. He knew the word, but he wanted somebody else to do it for him. No more. And he prayed and he said once his son prayed, Brother Hagin's son, Kenneth, prayed, he said that thing left just like that. And it's never been back. Isn't that good? So you have authority at some point. Somebody else's authority is not going to work for you. God forbid that you got a 40-year-old child still feeding off your table. Unless there's something wrong with them. Yes or no? Wow. It's hard to say in 2024. My fourth point here. There are 40 signs of a spiritual attack. This is in the notes. I just want you to be aware when the enemy is attacking you, and every single time he attacks you, you have authority over him. Yes or no? I want you to know that. So again, let me say, spiritual laziness these days can cost and cost deeply. You hear me? So we got to chunk laziness out the door, right? And so I'm going to read these 40 things. I've got a bunch of things in my notes, but here's a list of 40 things the demonic realm wants to use to control you. Even though you're a believer, even though you're born again, maybe even spirit filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit, the devil will still look for an inroad into your life. Here are 40. Now, I'm going to read these 40 things. I'm going to do it fairly quickly. I'm watching the time as well, so I'm going to do this quickly, but you can go online and just think over them more than I'm going to. I may make some quick comments, but with 40 things, I can't take a long time. And then I want to also say they overlap. I probably could. I wrote the list out and said, well, you know, I could combine, but I said, no, I'm not. Because sometimes I'll say the same thing a different way. Because of different nuances of problems, right? So some of them do overlap, and you'll notice that when I read this. Now, you know, it's okay, but here's 40 things. And again, these are things the demonic realm want to use to control you, even though you know the Lord. And even if you don't know the Lord, these are things that will happen. And sometimes this is simply the flesh, but many times this also has the demonic exacerbating or stretching what's already there. How many hear me? And you know, when you find these things rise up, and you'll find a lot of these rise up, you got to resist it in Jesus' name, right? So don't just, you know, be passive. How many know if you're a passive believer today, you're going to have problems? But if you're actively resisting the devil, James said, resist the devil, he'll run away. I guess he had some experience in that, you reckon? So if it's not running away, you might not be resisting. You might not have yet submitted to God in certain areas. Yes or no? Anyway, we could play around with all that for a lot. Here we are. So here are the 40 things, and I'm just going to go right through them. Number one, doubt. Doubt yourself, doubt friends, doubt God, doubts that come. You ever have doubts that come? Sometimes that's demonic in origin. You say, I resist the doubt. In fact, when doubt comes to me, and you have no idea how frequently I have to deal with doubt that comes. Because, you know, I got the organization here that God called me to oversee and all that with other people. But, you know, all kinds of thoughts come. I say, get in Jesus' name. Little dog's trying to nip my heels when I'm jogging or walking. I get out of here. That's what I do with doubt. Somebody said Kenneth Smith Wigglesworth was walking down the street one day. A friend was with him. He's one of those little tiny, you know those dogs that their spirit's bigger than their body? And they forgot that a little tiny chump that you could squash with one foot. But they just barked. Well, one of those dogs were following him down. Chihuahua or whatever. I know, well, you love Chihuahua. I got it. But he's walking down the street and the little thing's just nipping at his heels. And he said, now go on, go on, go on. And the dog just kept on yipping. And again, turn around, go on, go on. And he kept walking down the street. Finally got aggravated and said, I said, get. And that little dog touched his tail between his legs and run. Have you seen dogs do that? And he said, that's the way you got to deal with the devil, right? So rejection thinking, nobody cares about me. They don't like me. Self-pity goes right along with the rejection thinking. I want you to know the Spirit of God will leave you alone if you live in self-pity. Condemnation, thinking about what you did in the past or what you should have done. Not just what you did, but what you left undone, unsaid, right? You got to leave that stuff in the hands of God, repent of it, and move on. That can become an obsession, right? Obsession with failure, defeat, or the negatives of the past. You can't go forward looking back, forgetting the things that are behind. You got to be willing to let God forgive you. You got to be willing to walk in the grace and mercy of God. If you failed, admit your failure, but don't wallow in it, move on. And there's no reason to tell everybody else about it all the time, right? Fear, chronic fear, not rooted in reality. I mean, you've met people who have phobias. In fact, there are thousands of phobias. If you go look at a huge dictionary, lots of phobias and everything under the sun, that acronym for fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Every human has to deal with fear. There are fears on every level. When I came to Jesus, I had to deal with the fear of death, the fear of disease, the fear of accidents, because it was bred into me by my upbringing. And I one day said, just like Smith Wigglesworth did to that little dog, get! And I run fear out of my life. When COVID came, I want you to know that devil made me mad. The COVID devil made me mad. Yes, I said the COVID devil. I saw so many people running away and tucking away in fear because of what they heard over and over and over again. And I still see people today in fear. Oh, because they hear the same thing monotonously over and over. Why don't you go to the Bible? God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. I'll never have COVID. I will never die of COVID. You better not say that. The devil will hear you. That's why I'm saying it. He already knows he's defeated. As long as I'm walking with Jesus, his blood cleanses me, covers me, and his authority is over me. Yes or no? You got to get that kind of boldness in your own life. You say, Pastor, you're not being nice. Well, you know what? You can't be nice to a devil. And when a devil's messing with somebody, you got to be strong with that thing. Tell it to get in Jesus' name. So if you're coddling fear, get rid of the stuff. If you're allowing fear to dominate you so people will be pitying you and feeling sorry for you, get over all that stuff. Jesus made you whole. Jesus made you righteous. Jesus gave you his standing. Jesus gave you a reason to hold your head up high. Yes or no? Rebellion to established authority. Every time somebody, whether it's at work or somewhere else, somebody says something, I ain't doing that, I don't believe that. You know what? That could be demonic. Lying, telling only part but not the whole truth. Thoughts of strife, discord, or offense. James 3:16 said, where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. If you get around envy and strife where people are talking behind their back and saying things that should not be, they should not be saying, the devil's saying, do that again. Do that some more. Do it some more. I'm going to bring some of my imps with me. We're going to have a party right here. Thoughts of strife, discord, or offense. Next, erratic thoughts out of nowhere, creating self-doubt or doubts about others. You ever had erratic thoughts out of nowhere just come into your mind about the organization you work for or the church you go to or the family you're a part of or this person or that person? You got to dismiss that stuff. Compulsive desires to binge eat, to lust, to overwork, to overdo, whatever it may be. The Holy Spirit, how many know he gives us self-control? One of the nine fruit of the Spirit is self-control, overcompensating in some way. That is, you do more than you know you should. You ever been around a person, they say it too much, they go too far, they overcompensate? That's because of a weakness on the inside. That's the bully on the playground. Why does he pick on everybody? Because he feels bad about himself and he wants everybody to know he's boss when he doesn't think he is himself. He overcompensates. Get it? Yeah. Constant worry thoughts can be demonic in origin. Lust, thoughts of illicit sex, homosexuality, compulsion to view pornography. If this is a part of your life, men or women, you need to deal with it in Jesus' name. Humble your heart towards God. If you're involved in lust, say, God, I repent of the lust. I don't want to be lust-filled. God gave you a sexual desire, but that sexual desire should be pointed towards your spouse. And if you're not married, give that sexual desire to Jesus. And let him be, and say, Jesus, help me until it's time for me to get married. Paul said, it's better to marry than to burn with lust. Yes or no? It's Quietness Baptist Church. What are y'all? I know y'all dealing with this stuff. Huh? No, you give it to Jesus. And then, you know, when those thoughts and feelings come, everybody knows what that's like. You say, uh-uh. If you're looking at mess on the internet and it's making you lust, turn the stupid stuff off. Why feed what you don't want? Why feed what you don't want? I came across a book this, I'm getting to meddling and I got to stop. I got a long way to go. Anyway, you'll have to hear that later. Overcompensating in some way, lust, thoughts of illicit sex, gossip, having to repeat salacious tales about others. How many know that become an obsessive habit? I've seen people that somebody's talking, they just kind of like, and they're close by like. You ever work for somebody and they're working, they're a little cubicle, but somebody's over there talking, they're like. There's people like that. I hope it's not you, right? Gossip. Sudden distrust in people that have given you no reason to distrust them. Accusing thoughts about yourself. Accusing thoughts about others. Compulsive, uncontrolled anger. And how many know that's a real problem? Nothing wrong with being angry about something. Just don't sin when you get angry. You ever get angry? If you never get angry, that's a problem. If you're angry about everything, how many know that's a problem? That could be a self-centered problem. You might be a narcissist trying to control everybody. Well, God help you, right? Disunity, seeking to pit one person against another, seeking to create doubt about a person or a group. Galatians 5:20, one of the works of the flesh is variance or disputes or quarreling, whatever translation you may read. Romans chapter 1 verse 29 talks about the depravity of the human race, and it, according to what translation you're using, it mentions debate and quarreling. That's that disunity thing. It can be demonic in origin. Thoughts of compromise with the flesh and known sinful things. Overwhelming panicky emotions or panic attacks can be demonic in origin. They also can be physical in origin, right? Self-doubt. Thoughts that nobody loves me, nobody cares about me. See, that comes right on the heels of that is self-pity. Excessive pride in looks and work and church activity. Excessively wanting to be seen and known and heard. You're volunteering and you're just looking around to make sure somebody sees you and you smile real big. Now, you know, get over yourself, right? Rigidity. This is a big problem here. Spiritual rigidity. A compulsion to be overly strict when grace should be given. That's why you got to be really careful with your kids. You know what to do as a born-again, spirit-filled, word-believing parent, but you got to give your kids some space to learn on their own too. And you can be so rigid, you push them away from what you believe. It's another subject for another day. Feelings of loneliness and detachment, thoughts that you know not fit in anywhere, judgmental, angry thoughts about others, thoughts that question God's love, faithfulness, and words, selfish thoughts. Why didn't they include me? Why was I left out? Get over yourself. Love people. Thoughts like you, they don't care about me, hopelessness, nothing will get better or improve. Let me want to stop right here and say the main road of the demonic into a human life is thoughts. That's why Satan is seeking to control everything you ingest. And he's I think the Antichrist regime's going to use this thing right here, because people are on him all the time, right? You ought to take a digital fast day. Every week we say, I ain't looking at that, cut the booger off, say, I ain't available, just ain't available. One of my friends on Facebook, she said, oh, you won't see me for a while. And she said it, I'm fasting my phone, I'm fasting digital stuff. I love that. Isn't that good? Might want to take that to heart. Hopelessness, nothing will get better. Lack of ability to focus, lack of desire to read the word, pray, attend church, thoughts of isolation, thoughts of and feelings of panic, over-religiousness, spiritual involvement to the neglect of personal needs, family, friends, work, etc. I've seen people, man, they're just, you know, I appreciate everybody that volunteers, but if you volunteer to the point that you neglect your family, neglect your children, husband ain't being fed, children, you know, things aren't taken care of at home, you're doing wrong, my friend. Huh? You're trying to overcompensate for something, and the enemy can get in on top of that. Duplicity, acting one way in public, another way in private, suicidal thoughts. I think every human at one time or the other will have suicidal thoughts come into their mind. That's demonic in origin, I say. And that it needs to be resisted. Because if you play with it long, it can grab you, right? Compulsion to drink, smoke marijuana. I was just walking down the street with Susan. It was yesterday, Susan, the day before. And somebody's smoking weed in my neighborhood again. I'm thinking, Father God, they're asking devils and demons to come in their house. Because it smells like skunk. Compulsion to drink, smoke marijuana, use drugs, whatever. All of those compulsions, they come, that they are open doors for the enemy to rob, kill, steal. You can't play with any of that and get by with it. Sooner or later, you're going to leave an open door. It's going to affect your life. Yes or no? That's why we practice self-judgment. That's the reason on Wednesday night, the first Wednesday of the month, we have communion together. Why? Because that's the time of self-judgment. God, I slipped up right there. I see I'm slipping over there. I need to change this. I need to watch my behavior there. I need to watch these thoughts. I need to watch my words. I need to watch my attitude. You need to do that on a consistent basis. Don't wait till the communion table. Do it every day. Right? Number five, how to stand against Satan, how to stand in your authority and resist. I'll just end with this. Here's one thing you got to know. Just because you have authority, and I was listening to a guy yesterday that framed it really well as an older man of God, who was probably in his 70s, and he said, you know, some people get a hold of their authority in Christ and they take it too far. Satan has a legal right to be here. There's principalities, powers, yada, yada, yada. And you just can't demand that they leave your community or your city or necessarily even another person unless they're willing to let it go. How many hear what I just said? You know, if we had all authority the way some people take this, understand, you know, you could just take authority over all the devils in the United States and the devils that are messing with the federal government and the devils that are messing with the state government and the devils that are messing with our school system and the devils that are doing this and just run them all out. And then Jesus just come back and everything be great. You can't do that. They have a legal right to be where they are. They're just following the commands of their master, Satan. He's got a legal right to be here. When Jesus comes back at the second coming, his second coming, he's going to dispossess the devil of the authority that Adam gave away completely. He dispossessed him for believers, but not yet for unbelievers. Jesus comes back the second time. That authority is done. I mean, it's done. And he has to go. All the devils, all the fallen angels, and Satan himself, he's going to be consigned to the bottomless pit, Revelation 20, verse 3, and then will be judged and cast into the lake of fire for eternity. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month, not for a year, not for 5 years, but for eternity. That boy going to burn. I ain't following him. How about you? And so again, you can't just command every devil bothering everybody. They have something to do with it. If a community wants the devil, they'll have the devil. If a community wants God, they'll have God. Huh? If a family wants the devil, they'll have the devil. If a family wants God, they'll have God. If an individual wants the devil, you can't cast him out of them. But if an individual wants to be free, thank God we overcome by the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus come out, right? So we have personal responsibility. That's the reason Bible in Basic English, as I conclude, be serious, keep watch, 1 Peter 5:8. The evil one who is against you goes about like a lion with open mouth in search of food. Do not give way to him. Be strong in your faith, in the knowledge that your brothers who are in the world undergo the same troubles. New Living says, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. How do you resist the devil? With faith, with the word of God, with the name of Jesus, with the blood of Jesus, and with living a holy life. And keeping short accounts with God. Y'all get something out of this?